And we're joined once again on The Scoop today by Lucas Seehofer, who covers injuries for Zone Coverage, but also writes about the Timberwolves for A Wolf Among Wolves. Lucas, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, unfortunately, we're talking mainly about some negative news for the Timberwolves, and just when it seemed like they were going to be able to secure one of those top spots in the Western Conference playoffs, Jimmy Butler suffered a knee injury against the Rockets on Friday. It sounds, though, like he avoided major injury, but Lucas, just kind of take us through what happened with Jimmy on Friday.
Yeah, so basically Jimmy Butler hurt, tore his meniscus, and the meniscus is the structure inside of the knee. It's made of this dense cartilage, like tissue in the knee, and basically it sits on top of the tibia of the lower leg or the shin bone, and it does a couple of things. It provides cushion for the knee, but it also provides a little bit of stability through the knee by increasing the surface area and the contact between the shin bone and the femur of the upper leg. There's two. When these things get reported, it's typically reported that, you know, the player tore their meniscus or whatever. Well, there are actually two menisci in each knee, one on the medial or the inside part, and one on the lateral or the outside part. The medial meniscus is shaped like a C and is a little more stable, where the lateral meniscus is shaped like an O and is a little more mobile. We're not really sure which one Butler injured, but in the treatment, the recovery time, all those things wouldn't really change depending on which one was injured. What Butler ended up undergoing, by the sounds of it, was an arthroscopic meniscectomy, meaning that they went in and kind of cut out the area that was damaged.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, and the typical timeline for recovery for those types of injuries are kind of in that 3 to 6 week range.
Okay, excellent. As you mentioned, he had the surgery over the weekend. Now, this is a pretty big blow for the Timberwolves, at least in the short term, but thankfully avoided any sort of injury with his ACL, which would have pushed the recovery time well into next season, correct?
Right, yeah. So if he would have damaged his ACL, the ACL is a ligament. It's kind of one of the major ones in the knee. Once the ACL is torn, even if it's slightly torn, the whole structure is compromised, meaning that if surgery needs to be done, they need to go in and reconstruct it. So typical timeline for those types of injuries, for ACL injuries, is 9 to 12 months. Now, certain meniscal injuries can be repaired, meaning that they kind of go in and they stitch together the area that was torn. But that only certain meniscal tears can be repaired. They have to occur on the outer ring of the meniscus, because only the outer third of it has blood flow, meaning that only the outer third can repair itself over time. And they have to be, they can't be large tears either. So if we were wondering, should Butler have had the meniscectomy, should he have had the repair? He probably, likely because he had the meniscectomy, it means he didn't really have a choice basically repair wasn't an option. But the return to play for repairs are typically the 3 to 6 months, whereas meniscectomy is 3 to 6 weeks.
Now, this leaves a huge void in the Timberwolves starting rotation. It's expected that Andrew Wiggins will have an uptick in scoring, but just what do you think is the best route for the Timberwolves to go in order to fill Butler's spot, not only in the starting rotation, but then to disperse his minutes as well?
Yeah, so I think what we're going to see moving forward is, and obviously we saw this with the last game too, is Nemanja Bjelica is going to kind of become the de facto starter. I know Tibbs had mentioned that he's going to kind of go game by game, matchup by matchup. as to who's going to start in favor of Butler. But, you know, when Butler sat out the games earlier in the year with the sore knee and with his illness, Bielitsa was the starter. So I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see basically Andrew Wiggins with a more prominent role on offense and on defense. He's now going to be, you know, he's going to be taking more shots. He's going to be getting more of the shots that Butler was getting, but he's also going to now have to defend the opposing team's best wing player. You know, so hopefully we, you know, like to see Karl-Anthony Towns get more touches. You know, maybe someone like Tyus Jones would get more minutes, something like that. But, you know, maybe Marcus Georges Hunt gets more minutes. Maybe the Timberwolves go out and sign a player that gets bought out over the next few days. But in terms of obvious immediate changes that are going to happen, I think we're going to see a lot more Andrew Wiggins and a lot more Karl-Anthony Towns, and just kind of hope that that's enough to carry them through for the rest of the year.
The Wolves currently have been battling. They're now in the fourth spot, well, technically tied with the Spurs, but percentage points behind them. And the Spurs are dealing with injury issues of their own. Kawhi Leonard has been a sparse sight throughout the season. He played in a few games, but then was shut down again. And sounds like he is dealing with a pretty difficult injury, not only to diagnose, but to come back from as well. And I know you looked into it a little bit for zone coverage. So just take us through what Kawhi Leonard is dealing with here this season.
Yeah, so Leonard was diagnosed, I think even going back so far as the preseason, maybe even before that, with an injury known as quadriceps tendinopathy, basically meaning that he's having pain and some sort of dysfunction with his quadriceps tendon. Now, that dysfunction can mean, you know, lack of power while jumping, you know, like pain with running. Typically, it kind of all centers around that pain aspect. Tendinopathies they're very complex injuries. They're not typically something that can be addressed by a surgery or anything like that. And they can take a long time to recover. Kind of the long and short of it is that the tendon gets overgrown with blood vessels and nerves, which kind of makes the tendon more sensitive and more apt to be painful during activities like jumping, running, squatting, stuff like that. You see these types of injuries in athletes who do repetitive motions, like repetitive jumping, repetitive sprinting, stuff like that. So they're actually fairly common in basketball players. Now, the reason why they're so difficult is we don't really have great treatment options for how to address them at this point. We know that certain exercises, like eccentric exercises or strengthening the muscle as it lengthens, seem to help. But we also are starting to research more. If you look at the research, they're starting to look at more things like dry needling, which is basically taking a little tiny needle, not dissimilar to acupuncture, but different, and kind of helping to increase the blood flow to that area and kind of, for lack of a better term, get those blood vessels and those nerves to kind of grow back, to kind of die off a little bit, to make that tendon less sensitive and less painful. So it can take, it's one of those injuries where, you know, if the player can tolerate the pain, they should be good to go, but it can take upwards of, you know, 3 to 6 to 9 months of just like very direct treatment for those tendinopathies in order for them to kind of calm down and become less painful.
Outstanding. Lucas, before we let you go here, I know you have been just working on a variety of things just in terms of discussing injuries and treatments for them for zone coverage. So just take us through that a little bit too.
Yeah, so over at Zone Coverage, we write about all the Minnesota sports teams. I tend to focus more on the injury side, not only for Minnesota sports players and teams, but also, you know, maybe more national type stuff. Like, I've written about Amir Coffey and his shoulder injury and the surgery he went under. Also recently wrote an article on Wild wingman Nino Niederreiter and him playing on a broken fibula. So just kind of taking the information that's tossed out via the media and kind of putting it into people-friendly terms so that they can get a better understanding of what these players are going through and what kind of rehab they have to do, recovery timelines, things like that.
Outstanding. Lucas, great stuff here today. Thanks for giving us some insight into what Jimmy Butler has in front of him to return to form, hopefully for sure next season, but maybe see him if the Wolves can get in a deep playoff run. But regardless, we'll see how things play out. Thanks for joining the show today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.